and one will be brought around to you. And everybody can take your Bibles and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Go ahead and put your marker in 2 Samuel chapter 6 because we're going to come back to that in a little bit later in the lesson. So 2 Samuel chapter 6 is where we're going to start off in just a few moments. Hebrews chapter 11 is oftentimes referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And there's several people mentioned in there that have exemplified great levels of faith throughout their life, and they were able to accomplish a lot of wonderful things for God. But David has scant mention in Hebrews chapter 11. It just really references him with Samson and Barak and Jephthah and Samuel and the rest of the prophets. And it basically says, we don't have time to talk about these people in relationship to this group of men that, and women that we have referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. But I will suggest this to you. If there were a chapter in the Bible or a section in the Bible that was the Hall of Fame of Worshipers, David would have to head the list. He wouldn't have a brief mention with other people. I think he might be the prominent figure in the Bible, other than Jesus himself, about what kind of heart it takes to worship God in a way that is acceptable to God. And we started our series on worship, we looked at definitions. And I shared with you an encyclopedia that said, you can define the word worship all you want to. Look at the different Greek words and Hebrew words that are translated worship or bow down, and you're not going to get the true essence of worship until you look at the examples we have in the Bible of people who are actually worshiping and what that looked like. So we've had a couple lessons on that. We looked at some people who were worshiping under the time of the first fathers. We looked at worship in the time of Moses and on down through some of the Judges' time period. And today, we are going to focus our attention on David as our example of one who worshiped. We're going to look at one story primarily. It's recorded two places for us in the Bible. The 2 Samuel passage that I asked you to turn to a minute ago. And it's also in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So we're going to flip back and forth between those two passages as we look at this story and this illustration of David worshiping God. And there's four points we're going to look at in relationship to this. Now, my last lesson only had two. This one has four, so it still averages out to three. So I think we're still good. The first point we're going to look at is, what did David's worship look like? We're just going to read the text. This is what it looked like when David worshiped. The second point we're going to look at is that David's worship really reflected his heart of gratitude. So worship was a reflection of something that was in David's heart. And what was in David's heart was gratitude. The second thing we're going to look at is worship was a reflection of how David viewed God's greatness. We're going to see it in our text, but we're going to look at a couple other places in the book of Psalms that David penned that really illustrate that David knew who God was. And he reflected on God's greatness on a regular basis. And reflecting on God's greatness, thinking about God's greatness, was demonstrated or shown or reflected in the way that he worshiped God. And then the fourth point we're going to look at is worship, David's worship, reflected his close relationship with God. And obviously, the practical application already is basically making its point already, right? And do we have a heart of gratitude? If we have a heart of gratitude, then worship will be natural for us. If we have a heart that is constantly thinking about God's goodness and His greatness and what He has done in creating the world and what He does to sustain the world, and that He is the God of the resurrection, we talked about all those principles, and that He is wonderful and mighty and does great things for us, well, worship's going to follow that. And if we have a close, personal relationship with God, worship will be natural. So we have to ask ourselves those questions as we go through our lesson this morning. And I also want to ask you this question. Think about this as we continue to talk about worship, not only today, but in the future lessons. Have you ever thought that something is missing in our worship, in your personal worship? When we come to the building, you think, something's missing. It's just not the kind of worship maybe that we see in the Bible. Well, it could be that we start getting a little idea of why that is this morning when we talk about gratitude and a reflection of God's greatness and a close personal relationship with God as we look through that. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to have a chance to come out with God's people and worship God together. It is Mother's Day. It's already been mentioned a couple times. Some of you mothers, I'm sure, my wife, my mom included, would be in the Hall of Fame of Mothers if there were a Hall of Fame of Mothers. If you have a good mother, you're blessed beyond measure. So many people in the world don't have good moms. It's a shame. And those of us who do should let our moms know that we're grateful and thankful that they have done their best to raise us in a way that is pleasing and helpful to God. Let's go ahead and start with our first point. And that is, we're going to look at what David's worship looked like. Now, I am not insinuating, and please don't get me wrong here, I'm not saying that all worship has to look like what worship looked like here. There might be a time and a place for worship like David's worship, and there are other occasions in the Bible where worship didn't look like what it looks like here. But I think it's at least worth noting that this is an example that God puts in His book and has preserved it for us so that we can read it and maybe learn a little bit about what worship should look like. It's one of those things, and we maybe alluded to this in the past. If I were to say on the count of three, everybody worship, we wouldn't really know what to do. What does worship look like? Would we start singing? Would we start praying? Would we get down on our knees? What would it look like? Well, this gives us a good example of what worship looked like for David. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 6. We're going to start reading in verse 12. They've already gone to get the Ark of the Covenant, and Uzzah has already touched the Ark. He's already died. You remember that story. We focus on that story, and the ark stays there at Obed-Edom's house. And the Lord blesses Obed-Edom and his whole household and everything about his life and his family. The Lord is blessing that. So word comes back to David that the Lord is blessing the house of Obed-Edom because of the Ark of the Covenant is there. And so David makes plans to go get it again. Chapter 12. Now it was told David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was, when those bearing the Ark of the Lord had gone six paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. So they brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. This is not the tabernacle of Moses. This is a special tabernacle that David has erected there in Jerusalem. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. We're going to stop there for right now. We'll come back and pick this up later. But there's a couple things that we need to notice about what this worship looked like that David was engaged in. First of all, in verse 13 it says, they brought the ark with gladness. This was a happy occasion. It says they brought the ark into the city of David with a great deal of gladness in their heart. When we read the entire psalm that David gives to Asaph at this occasion that has been sung multiple times throughout the history of the Israelites, you will notice, and I'm asking you to do this, when we read the psalm, notice rejoicing. Notice how often this concept, this idea of rejoicing comes there. So there was something about David's worship that was evident and obvious to all. He was glad to do it. He was happy to do it. So they brought the ark in with gladness. We learn in verses 13 and 17 that David's worship consisted of offering sacrifices to God. Now this is sort of a linchpin of Old Testament worship, the offering of sacrifices. And we know that David's attitude about the offering of sacrifices was one that he wanted it to cost him something. We know that later on, right? In David's life, when somebody offered to give him everything related to the sacrifice, he didn't accept that. And he said, the sacrifice has to cost me something. So David had this attitude of wanting to sacrifice, gladly sacrifice things to the Lord. These sacrifices had a lot of reasons that we're not going to go in today. Reminder of the people's sin. Reminder that the blood is necessary to take care of sin. But it was also giving up something of value to God. And David was willing to do that. Now this is where, and I thought about doing this, but I tell you what, I just didn't have the guts to do it this morning. Coming up the aisle, whirling about. Logan, this morning when he walked in the building, he was turning circles. And so I started turning circles with him, and he got a big chuckle out of that. But you see David here on this particular occasion, it is described as leaping. He danced before the Lord. That is described as leaping and whirling before the Lord. Excitement, this joy. I mean, we would say, maybe we would get so excited. Sometimes when kids get excited, I think we've lost the ability to get excited like this, or maybe just the ability to skip. But sometimes when kids get excited, they start skipping and they start jumping for joy. And David is doing this on this particular occasion. He's going before the ark. He's jumping for joy. He's whirling about as he's going before the ark in this celebratory sense and idea that they're doing something special for God. And I don't know what the significance of this is, but David was wearing a linen ephod. Now, the ephod was typically reserved for the priest, but there are times in the Bible where people other than priests wore the ephod. But I think it's just David wore the clothing that was appropriate for what he was about to do, although his wife didn't think so, as she's going to rebuke him a little bit later. It might have been because it was a linen ephod, not the decorative ephod of the high priest. Maybe a sense of humility about this. He's taken off his kingly attire and putting on a plain linen ephod and doing the dancing before the Lord in a sense of humility. You'll notice humility is going to come up a couple times as it relates to this worshiping. David's worshiping included shouting and playing a trumpet. I think the trumpet there was probably just a way of, you know, there's a trumpet sound for war, but there's also a celebratory trumpet noise that went before the people. And it was to tell the people, this is a joyous occasion. And when they would hear the trumpet as it sounded that particular way, the trumpet would remind the people that this is not a somber occasion. This is not a quiet occasion. It's okay to jump and to scream and to yell and to be happy about what we're doing today. David's worship included blessing the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. So it says that David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts, and then David's worship included giving gifts to the people. He gave them a piece of meat, he gave them a cake of raisins, and it says men and women, they all got this. So this is what David's worship looked like. Now the exchanging of gifts on an occasion of happiness and joy, it was also at the time of Esther, remember the 14th day of Adar, when they were able to defend themselves, the 13th and 14th day. From then on out, they celebrated that 14th day as a day of celebration of God delivering them from the hand of Haman, and they gave gifts to one another. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16 now. Remember to mark where we are. Put your marker there. We're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and we're going to read starting in verse 4, and we're going to skip around a little bit in this text. I'll try to tell you where we are so you can follow along. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 4. And he appointed some of the Levites, this is after they've come into the city with the ark, he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. And a couple guys in verse 6, Benaniah and Jehaziel, the priests regularly blew the trumpet before the ark of the covenant of God. And in verse 37, so he left Asaph and his brethren there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister before the ark regularly on, as every day's work required. And then in verse 40, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offerings regularly, morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel. So the day of celebration of actually bringing the ark from Obed-Edom's house over to Jerusalem to put it in the tabernacle that David erected for it was a day of celebration where there was the leaping about and the shouting and the joy, the dancing around that happened there. But what David wanted to make sure didn't happen is that they stopped worshiping at that day. So three times, I think, in that text that we just read, it said that he appointed people for the regular worship. Now, regular worship would just mean the scheduled worship, the appointed worship. And so David understood that there was a time for worship that was a consistent, regular time for worship, and he wanted to make sure that that did not get neglected in the celebration of the occasion. Notice about this, though, as well, it's an important point, we've made it a couple times before, it was according to the law of the Lord as God had commanded. So God had given some specific instructions about how the ark was to be treated, how the sacrifices were to be made, and David wanted to make sure that was followed exactly like God said. Remember, there is no worship if we only do things the way we want to do it, we don't do what God wants to do it. By definition, that's not worship any longer, right? Because you have to do things the way God wants it done, or else you're elevating your ideas and your opinions above God's, and you're no longer worshiping Him. And so David wanted to make sure that they were worshiping God on a regular basis as God had ordained and in the way God wanted to do it. Alright, let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to read quite a ways here. We're going to read all the way down to verse 36. So if you are have your Bibles in your lap, it would be a good time to turn here and follow along. You can follow along in the text instead of having to look up here at me. Alright? 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 7. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Now verse 8 is the start of it. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing songs to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones, He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham, and His oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When you were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it. When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, He permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, He rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Verse 31. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field rejoice and all that is in it. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. and say, "Save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praises. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting." And all the people said, "Amen." And they praised the Lord. So let's look at our second point. Our first point was to just look at what David's worship looked like. Our second point is to look at this idea that the worship that David offered to the Lord on this occasion was a reflection of his gratitude to God. So let's go back and read a couple of those verses and focus on the verses that illustrate how grateful David was for the things God has given to him. Now, David had a difficult life. I mean, he has some troubling times. And maybe as I was reflecting on this week, maybe one of the things that made David such a good worshiper, and maybe what made David a man after God's own heart, is that although David was going through trying times, difficult times, he had this ability to focus on the things that he should be thankful for. Do we go through trying times? Do we go through difficult times? And what do we focus on? Our difficulties. You focus on the bad things. David had this ability to know that even through those bad moments, that they would have been much worse without God's help. That it was only with God's help that he was able to make it through those difficult moments. And I was thinking about that I need to be better at being thinking about and being grateful for the good things instead of feeling sorry about the bad things that happen in our lives. David was good at that. Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 7, back at the beginning of this. It says, "Oh, on that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord." And it starts out, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people." So the whole purpose of the psalm was to thank God. It says it right there. He gave it to the people so the people would thank God. It was a psalm of gratitude, a psalm of thanksgiving, if you will. And the very first phrase in the psalm was, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." If you drop down to verse 34 of 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation, gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles, to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praises." So the deliverance that he wanted was so that he could thank God. He could show a heart of gratitude. So David not only begins the psalm with a statement of gratitude, he ends the song of thanksgiving by thanking God because he is good, he's merciful, and he's holy, and asking God for delivering them so that when they are delivered, so that when they're delivered, they could thank him for it. And they could make that known among the people that God had delivered them. Let's look at a couple psalms. Psalm 18. We're just going to read a couple verses in these psalms, but they are psalms that reflect David's thankful heart. If you divide the psalms up, you're going to have a bunch of psalms that are going to be characterized as thanksgiving psalms. And you're going to have some psalms characterized as psalms of praise, right? And so David was very good at thanking God and making the things that God did for him known among other people. Psalm 18 and verse 49 says, "Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever." Now look at Psalm 30. Psalm 30, I'm going to read verse 4 and then drop down to verse 12. Psalm 30 and verse 4 says this, "Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name." So he said, when you hear the name of God, when you hear his holy name, what you should automatically do is give thanks to him for who he is and what he's done for you. And then you look at verse 12, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." And then in Psalm 69. Psalm 69, we'll read 30 and 31 of Psalm 69. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hooves. Giving thanks to God was common in David's life. Because he was so grateful, so thankful for what God had given him, this worship was just natural to him. To tell other people how wonderful God is and how many great things God has done for him in his life. And he says in this psalm, the one that we just read, that that's what God is after. God is after our hearts of thankfulness. Not the gift, not the sacrifice. The act of sacrificing was important. But how many times did God tell the people, I'm sick of your actions of sacrifice because they don't have the heart behind them. They mean nothing to me. It was the heart of gratefulness that meant something to God. And David knew that. And so, just by way of practical application, it's a day of being thankful for our mothers. Let's make it a week, a month, a lifetime of remembering when God's name is mentioned to be thankful for what He's done for us. And I put in the outline, sometimes it's good to make a list. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. And you don't have to make a physical list. I know that we've done that sometimes with our kids, and there's notebooks around the house with several pages of I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful for this. But it is a good mindset, isn't it? It's a good habit. It's a good exercise just to set and reflect on how many good things God has given you. Of all the people in the world who have ever lived, we have so many things to be thankful for. It should not be hard for us to do this. And to be happy when we think about all the good things God has given us. So David's worship was reflective of his thankful heart, his heart of gratitude. Our worship should be a reflection of our gratitude. Our third point is David's worship reflected his view of God's greatness. We've already focused a little bit on that this year when we looked at God being the God of creation. We looked at how big the world was, and yet God takes care of all the small details. And when we think about that and we meditate on that, that should cause us to praise God and to worship God for what He has done. Let's look at a few passages that go along with this. In verse 9, David instructs the people to talk about God's wondrous works. In verse 12, David instructs the people to remember God's marvelous works, His wonders, and the judgments of His mouth. So in this psalm of gratitude are all these things that he wanted the people to remember about God. Remember all God's wondrous works. Remember all of His marvelous works. Remember His wonders. Remember the judgments of His mouth. And verse 15, David instructs the people to remember the covenant that God made with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Remember that covenant that God took us when we were few in number, and He made this great covenant with us. Think about that. And we ought to think about the covenant that we're in with God on a regular basis. You think about that regularly? About the wondrous works. When you're sitting out in the mountains or the ocean, it's easy to think about God's wondrous works. In the springtime, it's easy to think about God's wondrous works because we see all the stuff turning green again. And the fall, maybe, when we see the beautiful leaves. But as Christians, that concept, that ought to just be a part of who we are on a regular basis. We meditate, we think about how great and wonderful God truly is. Let's read verse 25. And in 1 Chronicles 16, verse 25. It says, For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. So in this psalm that David wrote, he wants people to remember God as great and worthy of praise. Think about God's greatness. Think about how He's worthy to be praised on a regular basis. God should be feared because He's the only one that can create things. And we look at that. One reason we worship God is because God can do things that no one else can do. He created everything. He sustained everything. No one else can do that. And so it elevates Him to a point where we fall down on our knees and we worship Him because no one can do this but You, God. And so thinking about those wonderful things is something that we should do on a regular basis. God affirms that honor and majesty are before God. And in verse 29, David proclaims that God is worthy of glory and that God is worthy of worship. And in verse 30, David recognized that the whole world should tremble before the Lord. Man, David, think about this. How do we start? David would definitely make the Hall of Fame of worship. I hope we're learning from him today. I hope we're learning what made David such a good worshiper of God, and what made him so pleasing to God was his gratitude and his remembrance of who God was and how great God really was. Psalm 138 was our reading. I'm just going to read a couple of verses here. It was read for us earlier as we started. It starts out, it says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all names. And later on in the passage, it talks about humility. In verse 5, yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. So Psalm 138 was our reading. It says, David said he will praise and worship God with his whole heart. I think we could agree with this, that David held nothing back in worship. We're going to see again in a minute his attitude about this. David wasn't worshiping because it was instructed for him to do it. Although there are instructions about worshiping, he did those kind of things. David was worshiping God because he loved God. He was grateful and he knew the things that God did for him. Psalm 103, before we turn back to 1 Chronicles 16. Psalm 103, we're going to read 5 verses here. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. You see that already again? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? So David blesses God with his mouth because David was aware of the benefits God bestowed upon him. He does it with his whole heart. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 8 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Verse 23, sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Verse 24, declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. I think we find out something else very important about David's worship. David wanted other people to know about this God he was worshiping. He knew the importance of proclaiming what God has done for him to other people. Our whole focus this year is evangelizing. Sometimes evangelizing might just be communicating to others how many good things God does for us and how many good things He does for people. That's what David does. He goes, I'm going to praise God in front of everybody. I'm going to let everybody know how great God is. Verse 28. Give to the Lord, O families of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. So David's worship also included verbally giving God credit for what He deserves in. We looked at this when we looked at the bad example when they built the golden calf. What was said at the building of the golden calf? This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Worship includes giving God credit verbally for the great things He has done for us. We do it in song. We can do it just in statements. We can do it in prayer. Telling God we're grateful for what He has done for us. So our practical application there is read 2 Psalms a day and write down everything the psalmist says about God's greatness. Now, on one page, everything I'm thankful for. On the other page, everything that God has done or thankful for who God is. And we meditate and think about those things on a regular basis. I think we're going to find that worship will just become a natural part of who we are and what we do. Our fourth point is David's worship reflected his close relationship with God. If we are not close to God personally, our corporate worship, our individual worship will be lacking. We have to have that close relationship with God. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. I told you to leave your marker there. So if you left your marker there, you'll be able to go back there before I start reading. 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 20 says this. Then David returned to bless his household. We stopped there. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "Oh, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." So David said to Michal, this is the key word here. David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord." Let's stop there for a second. David, and that's the answer to the blank. David is making the point here. My worship wasn't for the maidens. My worship wasn't to get your approval. I didn't do it for that reason. My worship was before the Lord. And I stand fully prepared and fully open to God judging my worship for what it was. I don't need you to. I'm not worried about your thought of my worship. I didn't worship for your sake. Now, did David do things in his worship for other people? He blessed the people in the name of the Lord, right? He gave gifts to the people. So the people benefited from seeing David's worship. But David wanted to make it very clear to his wife, and I think God put it in here for our sake, that we don't worship God for other people's sake, primarily. We worship God because we're grateful to Him and we appreciate who He is. And it's an outpouring of our personal relationship with God. David's undignified worship was acceptable to God. Michael's attitude about it wasn't. A couple psalms here before we're finished. Psalm 132. Psalm 132. "Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob, 'Surely I will not go into my chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob.'" What does this say? David was consumed with pleasing God. It was what his whole life was about. And there was no mistaking that. Psalm 63. "O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better to me than life. My lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth with praise shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches, because You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. Your right hand upholds me." David had a strong desire for God. Back in chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, verse 10, "Glory to His name, let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord." Verse 11, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. David sought God. That's why worship came natural to David. It was just part of who David was to worship God. He thought about God all the time. He thought about God's wondrous works. He thought about what God had done for him in his own life. He thought about what God had done in making the covenant with Israel and what God had done for Israel. He thought about all the wonderful things God had given him. And as a result of that, he worshiped. Let's shift our focus. Please don't misunderstand this. Let's shift our focus from how we worship to who we worship and why we worship Him. Because if our focus is on how we worship, it might become empty. If our focus is on who we worship and why we worship, the how we worship will naturally follow. David knew it was important to worship God correctly. But worshiping God correctly was the result of knowing who God was and knowing what God had done and knowing that He loved God and wanted to serve God. Don't get me wrong. I mean, how is important? But I think if we worship, if we focus on the who and the why, because inherent in the who and the why is the how. But it's not inherent in the how, necessarily, the who and the why. So if we focus on the who and the why, we'll get the how correct. Because the only way to worship God is doing it His way. And we won't be so concerned, maybe, with how our worship looks to others. Does our worship reflect our gratitude? Does your worship reflect your gratitude for what God has done for you? Does my worship reflect my view of God? Does my worship reflect my personal relationship that I have with God? You ever feel like there's something missing in your worship? It could be gratitude. It could be not understanding of who God really is and what He's done for you. Start there. And we'll continue to look at this idea of worship as we go through the year. We worship a great God who's done wonderful things for us. If you're not in covenant relationship with Him, you know what you need to do. Like Kyle did last week, have your sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. Have been immersed in water to have those sins forgiven. You can do that. If you're a Christian and you just need help of the congregation, prayers, if you have something you need to confess, please come as we stand.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not His mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, life's end is coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner.